Please take your Bibles, turn to Acts chapter 27. I'll be reading verses 1 to 12. And out of reverence to God, would you stand as His Word is read? Acts 27, beginning in verse 1. When it was decided that we were to sail to Italy, they handed over Paul and some other prisoners to a centurion named Julius of the Imperial Regiment. When we had boarded a ship of Adarantium, we put to sea, intending to sail to ports along the coast of Asia. Aristarchus, a Macedonian of Thessalonica, was with us. The next day, we put in at Sidon, and Julius treated Paul kindly and allowed him to go to his friends to receive their care. When we had put out to sea from there, we sailed along the northern coast of Cyprus because the winds were against us. After sailing through the open sea off Cilicia and Pamphylia, we reached Myra in Lycia. Then the centurion found an Alexandrian ship sailing for Italy and put us on board. Sailing slowly for many days, with difficulty we arrived off Cnidus. Since the wind was not allow us to approach it, we sailed along the south side of Crete off Salamis. With some more difficulty, we sailed along the coast and came to a place called Fair Havens, near the city of Lasia. By now, much time had passed, and the voyage was already dangerous, since the Day of Atonement was already over. Paul gave his advice and told them, "Men, I can see that this voyage is headed toward disaster and heavy loss, not only of the cargo and the ship, but also of our lives." But the centurion paid attention to the captain and the owner of the ship rather than to what Paul said. Since the harbor was unsuitable to winter in, the majority decided to set sail from there, hoping somehow to reach Phoenix, a harbor on Crete facing the southwest and northwest, and to winter there. You may be seated. That area I have sailed through on a little sturdier ship, though, and it can be very stormy. If you're depending on the wind to move your ship, it's a lot more difficult than just depending on fission of a nuclear material to make steam, to make your ship go through the water with a propeller instead of a sail. So it was a little bit different. We didn't face the problems that they faced, although there are modern ships that have faced similar problems. We come to our passage today where Paul is heading on his last recorded journey. Now, some say that this was not his last journey, that he went on. He was released from prison in Rome and went on to Spain and then came back and he was put in prison a second time. Well, we don't have that recorded. All we have is this is his last recorded journey. Paul has given his defense before the king and before the governor, and he's explained that he's on trial for the hope of all the Jewish people. Although the Jewish people are accusing him because they don't like that he's believed their hope. He says, "I'm just believing what the Old Testament prophets say." And he was speaking before King Agrippa and Bernice, his sister slash mistress, and Festus, the governor. Festus hears Paul's arguments, and he says, "You're crazy, Paul. You think God talks to you. You study too much. You've lost your mind." Well, Paul says, "I'm not crazy, Festus, because King Agrippa knows about the things I'm talking about. None of this was done in secret. None of the acts of Christians have been done privately. They've been openly about proclaiming what they believe, that Jesus is alive. Agrippa is asked by Paul, "Do you believe what the prophets say?" And Agrippa understood what Paul was saying. If Agrippa had said, "Yes, I agree with the prophets," then he would have to admit that Jesus is the promised Messiah. So Agrippa says to Paul, "Do you hope so easily to convert me into being part of this despised group called Christians?" Paul says, "Well, either easily or with difficulty, I want you to be just like me, with the same hope that I have, with the same assurance I'm right with God, but you can do it without these chains that I'm wearing." Agrippa, Festus, and Bernice get up along with the leading military officers, and they leave, and they have a private meeting and say, "This guy hasn't done anything that deserves punishment or imprisonment. He should be able to go free, but he's appealed to Caesar." And that brings us to our passage today. He's heading to Rome. Now, there's a Roman officer, could have been one that was at that trial, named Julius, who is put in charge of Paul and some other prisoners. And their plans are sail along the coast, head up north, go along the northern coast of Asia, that would be Turkey, and then cut over to Greece, and then right to Rome, to Italy. That was their plan. A lot of times we have plans that are made without consulting God. The centurion and the Romans had decided this is a good time to sail. Well, it's not necessarily a good time. It's late in the sailing season. Things get pretty bad. In 1975, a ship sank on what should have been an easy cruise up in the Great Lakes of the United States, between sailing out of Detroit and heading up a little further north. It got caught in a storm. Lost with all hands on board. The next year, a Canadian singer wrote and sang a song about it, "The Wreck of the Edmund Fitzgerald." They thought they were going to have smooth sailing. This is just an easy cruise. It's toward the end of the sailing season, and we can make it. As the song goes, and as it's accurate in its depiction, the Edmund Fitzgerald was a big ship, bigger than most sailing at that time in the Great Lakes. But it got caught in a northeasterly wind. Like, very similar, Paul's ship. The wind was against them, except the Edmund Fitzgerald had motors to help it move where it didn't depend on the wind. But it still was lost for a great number of years until it was not too long ago that they found it. Well, all hands were lost on board. And there's a similarity with the sailing of Paul. They knew it was late in the season. They knew as they were heading along the coast of Turkey, modern-day Turkey, the Roman province of Asia, that the winds were against them and they were taking much longer than they should, putting them further and further behind in the season. But they didn't take the warnings that the weather was giving them, that Paul was giving them. They got on a new ship. And this is a ship that is part of the imperial, the royal fleet They contracted with ships to move food from Egypt to Italy. That was the main route. The main source of food for Italy came out of Egypt, and it would sail along the coast past Israel, up along the coast where in Asia, and then sail over to Italy. One important thing with this being an imperial ship, since it was under the contract of the Roman government, the Roman officer on board outranked everybody. He was a higher rank as far as what the ship did than the ship's owner or the ship's captain. So when they made a decision what to do, the final word was made by the centurion. He was the final authority. He had already shown some kindness to Paul. Like I said, maybe he had heard his defense and was impressed with him and let him go be with some friends when they pulled into Sidon. And Paul was apparently part of the council deciding, should we stay here in Fair Havens, which has a better name than what it actually was. It was opened to the winds and everything. It's not a good place to stay for the winter and that weather, and they hope to get somewhere else. But Paul gives advice that it's not going to be a safe journey. But the centurion made the decision that the owner says there's a better harbor 40 miles on. And so they decided to go. Many times, Christians' input into decisions is ignored. God had his spokesman there, Paul, who was not only the spokesman from God, but also a seasoned traveler. He had been sailing through that area many times. Later in a passage, we look at him describing he's been shipwrecked 3 times. So he knows what it's like to be shipwrecked. And so he had some experience there. But the centurion makes the decision to follow the man's wisdom, ignoring what Paul said. We also see a similarity here between Paul and the prophet Jonah. Jonah got called by God to go to a major Gentile city, Nineveh. Jonah said, I'm going the other way. And so he started heading for Spain. Now, Paul wants to go to Spain too, but as part of God's plan. Paul is following God's call as he's heading to Rome. Jonah was on a ship trying to run away from God. They both face a storm. Jonah explains, and Paul explains, as we see later in the passage, I serve the God that is a God of all creation. Paul gives a comforting message of how the crew can be saved. Jonah also gives a message, but his message is, just throw me overboard and everything, and y'all will be okay. Well, Paul ends up being shipwrecked in the ocean. Jonah, God has provided a special fish for him. Now, often we hear Jonah was swallowed by the whale. It doesn't say whale. It just says a great fish. So whatever God wanted, he had that fish. Might be a one-of-a-kind fish, a Jonah fish, just for Jonah. But both Jonah and Paul ended up in the capital city proclaiming God's message, and they both had fruitful labors. God never promises us that when we follow him, there's going to be smooth sailing all along. We can see through this passage, it's not going to be smooth sailing for Paul. He's in prison, or he's a prisoner rather, but he's still following God's plan. Jonah was a free man, but he wasn't following God's plan, but God worked out both of the situations to get them to the destination where God wanted them to be. No matter what kind of opposition they faced, no matter whose advice they took, God's plan still succeeded. Let us remember sometimes when we face stormy seas that if we are following God's plan, it's all going to be good. Stand with me for our closing prayer. Dear God, thank you for this time we could be here. Thank you for the example of Paul remaining faithful to you even when facing stormy seas, when being chained as a prisoner, when being falsely accused of crimes that he had not done, all because he was remaining true to proclaiming the truth. Let us not worry about the consequences that come to us when we are following your plan, but remember that you take care of every situation. You are with us every step of the way. In Jesus' name, amen.